apologies to those who can only hear this sermon. I'm going to take a second to step away from the podium because there's something you really need to see. Yes, this morning I am modeling one of the Father's Day ties. Research tells us that the most purchased gift for Father's Day is the tie. But Shirley discovered online that if you were to take every tie given to every father every year and stretch them end to end, you could still not have achieved the width of love that is there for good old Dad. One of the great things about Father's Day and about being a father is that it actually does come with a manual. Lots of things in life don't come with a manual, don't come with a set of instructions. And then unfortunately there are those gentlemen who think instructions are something to be tossed over the right shoulder, somewhat like when you spill salt. You know, you just take the instructions and then if all else fails, you can always go retrieve them if you have to. But we do have a manual. And we do have an example in God our Father. I've been very fortunate in my life to have two fathers. By that, I have my biological dad, Arnold, who raised me and was my mentor and friend. But also, we had sponsors when I came to Canada. And a man by the name of Harold Stuck had me for weekends. He was my weekend dad. I always considered him my weekend dad. That's what I called him. And he was my second father figure. And together, they made one incredible set of examples for me. And so I felt very fortunate about that. So I got thinking about fathers. And I wonder what it is that makes a father great. And so, of course, when we wonder things like that, we turn to God's Word and see what it says. And the first thing I think that makes fathers great is when they are faithful. God our Father is faithful. We sing, "Great is thy faithfulness, O God our Father." And Scripture is full of examples of how God is faithful, and he becomes our example. And good fathers are faithful people. They are first faithful to God, and they trust God with their whole heart, soul, and mind. That's what Jesus said was the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. And good fathers are faithful to God in that way. Listen to what it says in verse 3 from our passage. Do not let loyalty and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. When you are faithful to God, then you become faithful to your wife, you become faithful to your family, you become faithful to those who put their trust in you. Faithfulness is one of the key attributes of being a good father. Good fathers believe in God's promises, and they believe that God has said that he would preserve their families. And God has provided for us everything we need to know him and to be his, and to share that love with those who are put in our care. Good fathers understand their responsibility to know God's word, and to have an active prayer life, and to attend church regularly with their families, and to obey God's commands. Good fathers know that they have to do more than just talk. Because a good father also is a person of action. Action speaks louder than words. So often fathers these days are portrayed as being somewhat sedentary. You know, when you think of dear old dad, you think of the lazy boy with the footrest up and the back tilted way down, and you've got the game on the big screen. Hopefully a very big screen if you want to do it right. You know, and you're hoping to see if the Jays can snatch victory from the jaws of defeat, or if they're going to grab defeat from the jaws of victory. But we think of dad in that role. And I think that what's happened over the years, and I've noticed it in television through comedies, if you study comedies through the year, the role of the father has changed over the years. And fathers are too often portrayed as bumbling and fumbling and barely aware of what's going on. But that's not accurate. To a good father is a person of action. He lives out his beliefs. He puts them into action. Scripture says that we have to have both faith and deeds. We have to be doing for the Lord. Jesus said, when you have done this to the least of these brothers of mine. And Jesus talks often about our walk and our tasks and our journeys. And we are to be people of action. And it's actions that show how it should be done. My dad came to Canada. He had to become a butcher in order to look after the family. But his love, his passion, his trade in England was carpentry. And dad had built for himself his own workroom. And we were not to be in that room unless we were invited in. And dad was very careful to show us how to use the tools that he had. It was mostly hand tools. He'd come from England, World War II generation. He really didn't think he could do an accurate job with a power tool. He really figured you had to do it by hand. And good thing about that is it helps your tennis game. Those of you who are interested, get yourself a hammer or a saw and get to work, and you'll find your grip and your control over your racket is far better. In fact, one of the world's greatest tennis players was his last name was Emerson, and back in the 60s, and they called him Nails because he had been a carpenter before he started playing competitive tennis. But anyway, Dad made sure that we used every tool correctly. We knew what it was, we knew what it was for, we knew how to use it. I'm serious, he actually gave us a quiz each time before we could pick up the tool and use it. But Dad realized that the only way we were going to learn how to handle the skills of carpentry was when he did it for us and showed us and taught us. And so he was a person of action. The same was very, very true of music. And I'll get to that in just a few minutes talk when I talk about fathers as examples. But leads us to what it says in Proverbs 3 and 1. My child, do not forget my teaching, and let your hearts keep my commandments. Fathers need to be teachers. They need to be good teachers. As they prepare their children to enter adulthood and teach their children how to handle the tough world that they live in, it means that we have to, as fathers, teach our children how to get along, how to survive in this world. I was interested that you would bring up, Gemma, the name of a survivalist in Bear Grylls, because, you know, it is a world where we have to learn to survive and to thrive. And it's a father's job to teach them. Listen to what it says in Ephesians 6:4. It says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Don't be a critic, be a teacher. I want to share a few words from the author of Seven Habits. He said this. He says, stop being a critic and be a light. Don't be a judge, be a model. I think we are far too critical. I think the best way to correct behavior is to accentuate and affirm positive behavior and to ignore the negative behavior. Generally speaking, there is a time to correct, of course, but my biggest advice would be to affirm your child. Fathers are teachers. They teach their children well. And they teach them with love. And they teach them also with example. Because if fathers are going to do a good job for their children, they have to be a positive example. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said in John 13:15, for I have set you an example that you should do as I have done. One One of the young men that I watched come up through high school and college and now into marriage, and he's actually a deacon now in Arcona, posted a country video. And the song reminded us that our children are watching us. And in the song, the man is off with his child in his car seat, and they've just been to McDonald's, and he's telling his son that he can't have his toy until his nuggets are done, when suddenly he has to hit on the brakes, and it says, you know, the fries went flying, and the orange drink is in his lap, and he said something of four letters that began with S. And his father said, "Where did you learn that?" He said, "From you, Dad." And the chorus is, "He's watching me. He's watching me." As fathers, we need to be an example, because children are watching us and they emulate us. Somebody once took a little video. It's a cute little clip. It was my son Rob when he was a toddler, and Rob and I were walking down the sidewalk to church, and somebody took it from behind, and he was just a little mini me. He carried his shoulders the way I carry my shoulders. He carried his arms the way I carry my arms. His stride was just like mine. We were just side by side. He actually literally saw my walk and walked in it. But we are meant to be examples. You know, in Proverbs 22:6, it says, "Train up a child in the right way, and when I am old, he will not stray." And we often think of that as teaching. Teach a child. But the word, the Hebrew word that is used for train, is actually a word that has to do with horses. And it is to walk them through their paces, to show them what you want. By doing it, by being an example, give them an example of what you want. And that's how you're to train a horse, they thought in those days. And it's very true when we're with children, is that what we tell them has to be in line with what we're doing. We have to be an example. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul said, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." Those are such profound words. The only way we can invite somebody to follow our example is if we're following the example of Christ. Because it is what Christ shows us that changes how we live, so that we can actually strive to be an example for those in our care. And finally, I think that to be a good father, you got to be reliable. You have to be the one they can count on, the one who is always there. It's Father's Day, and so, of course, I think back to my own children. And I used to coach and play in Reach Forth sports. And I was a soccer coach, and Rob came to all my games. When he was old enough to play in the league. And he had learned this crazy thing where he would climb up the little bleachers that were there, and he would see me, and he would launch himself out from the bleachers to land in my arms. Well, one time I was getting on the field, and Rob looked down and saw one of the young men from our youth group, and so he just launched himself out, hit the ground, came up crying and swinging with all his might, because he had been let down, because that wasn't what's supposed to happen. "Dad always catches me," he said. "Dad always catches me." Reliability. We have to be there. We have to be consistent. The best present we can give our children is our presence with them. And as fathers, we need to be actively involved in every aspect of their life. And we need to stay involved, because your son is your son, and your daughter is your daughter, no matter what their ages are. Doesn't mean you need to be constantly doing for them. It means you have to be constantly there for them. You are their sounding board. You are their advisor. You're their dad. And so you're there for them. The other thing is, of course, I had mentioned about role models, because I came across this great quote by, I don't know how many people are old enough to remember the columnist Abigail Van Buren, "Dear Abby." But she wrote this. She said, "If you want your children to keep their feet on the ground, put some responsibility on their shoulders. Put some responsibility on them. Teach them how to be reliable too. Give them tasks, check on them, and help them with their own reliability. So, if you have been paying attention to this message, and I hope you have, you will notice that it actually has taken the form of an acrostic. A great thing, like all of Psalm 119 is acrostic. The last chapter in Proverbs about the godly woman, that's also an acrostic. And the first acrostic I can ever remember was Ford, F-O-R-D. Fix or repair daily, or found on road dead. I tried to remember the first one when we were in school, and I had to do Brian, but I really couldn't remember it. Other than the B for brain, that one I remembered. And that only happened because I accidentally wrote brain on a paper once. Not because of anything else, trust me. Faithful. Action. Teacher. One who inspires with hope and example and reliability. Father. What a wonderful calling. What a wonderful gift. We have the greatest example of fatherhood in our Heavenly Father, in all that He has done for us and does with us, and how He treats us. And we have a manual found right in Scripture. And it's almost as if you could close your eyes and hear God saying, "Here is my way. Walk in it." What does it say in Proverbs? "In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." He is the one in whose steps we follow and whose example we trod. I always remember that funny year. It was during the winter when Dad was walking in front of us, and I was walking in his footsteps, and I suddenly realized my big feet were obliterating his footsteps. But it's still his footsteps I wanted to follow in.